The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Save big money on your outdoor project at Menards. We make landscaping simple with our free, easy-to-use design program and step-by-step project guides. Plus, Menards has the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block at the best prices. Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Visit us in-store or on Menards.com to see our full selection of landscape blocks and get your outdoor project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
I had just parked at the local trail I often visit, when, about 30 seconds later, an older man parked next to me. He started leaning over as if to ask for directions. I rolled down my window, and he tried to peer into my car. Sensing something odd about this guy, but dismissing it initially, I wondered if he needed anything. He said he was out for a walk and kept looking inside my car suspiciously. Then he asked if I wanted company for my walk. I usually go for my walks to be alone with my thoughts, so I wasn't interested, especially given his strange behavior. I politely declined and got out of my car. Despite this, he followed me and invaded my personal space, making me uncomfortable with his intense staring and lack of proximity. Although I'm a tall man and wasn't feeling physically threatened, his behavior was disconcerting. After walking together briefly, I excused myself, saying I needed to use the restroom and started walking faster to create a distance. When he tried to keep up, I told him I'd catch up later and quickly left the area, feeling uneasy. I feel guilty, thinking he may just be a lonely old man, but I believe I did the right thing. Usually, I'm not uneasy around others, but this interaction felt off. I prefer to trust my instincts in these situations, especially while out in the rural woods. Ten years ago, I, a male in my early to mid-40s, had an unusual experience. I was meeting a friend for coffee and arrived early, so I decided to spend some time at a small park before heading to the coffee place. It had a parking lot along the main road leading to the park. The park was an asphalt trail that went around a small oval-shaped pond, half-lined with a wooded area. Near the parking lot, there was a shelter, restroom, and kids' playground. It was a very sunny and warm, late morning, so I opened the driver's side window and the passenger side window just an inch or so. I was scrolling through emails on my phone when I noticed movement a few yards away on the trail. A young man in black sweatpants and a black hoodie was stretching with his back towards me. I was the only car parked in the lot at the time. I went back to my phone and emails when suddenly there was a pounding on the passenger side window. It was the guy who had been stretching just a minute ago. He scared the absolute ever-living crap out of me. I asked him, how can I help you? He didn't reply, but he put his face by the crack of the window and was grinning with a crazed look in his eyes. I quickly started the car up and shut both windows just as he dashed over to my side of the car and began trying to open the door. I honked the horn several times and shouted at him, asking him what the hell his problem was. He was still grinning like an idiot and not saying anything at all. Another car suddenly pulled into the lot and parked a couple of spaces away, and the grinning guy turned and ran off toward the woods. I pulled out, left the park, checking in my mirrors to make sure they weren't following me. This event weirded me out for some time afterward, and I was incredibly thankful that my car doors were locked and that I could close my windows before anything crazy happened. For some background, I'm a 24-year-old female who loves scary stories, horror movies, true crime, etc. It takes a lot to scare me, though I haven't experienced many terrifying, life-threatening events, fortunately. On to the story. This was during the middle of August in the summer of 2023 in North Texas, so the nighttime temperatures were around 100 degrees at the time. My dad and my 11-year-old brother drove an hour north into the countryside to go stargazing for my brother's Scout Merit badge. As they approached Black Creek Lake, they had to navigate some twisty gravel roads in the forest. We saw a coyote, a deer, and two raccoons. We lived in a city, so we rarely got to see such animals. We thought that that would be our excitement for the night. We then finally made it to the recreational park grounds beside the lake. Now, the layout is rather simple. If you're standing in the round parking lot, the campgrounds are to the north and west. The lake is south, and the path in and out is to the east of us. No official campgrounds are east of this recreational area, which is essential for later. We got there around 10 p.m. and set up. We successfully saw some stars and Saturn through my telescope, which was pretty exciting. Throughout this whole time, though, there were two parties, or what might have been one group, in the parking lot and the surrounding area. Maybe there was one party kayaking or fishing or something to the west of us. To the north, there were a couple of cars, and from that direction, we constantly heard the loud, irritating voice of a woman who was obviously in a bad mood and did not want to be there. She continuously cursed at someone or something, and it seemed like it was never really anything in particular. At one point, it seemed like they were so mad, and somebody was taking their keys or obstructing them from driving while they were clearly intoxicated. It was really hard to tell what was going on. At one point in the night, around 11 p.m., we hear someone sporadically honk one of the car horns repeatedly in random patterns. Then we hear the obnoxious woman rudely tell someone to wake up repeatedly, holding down the horn for a few seconds and continuing her assault on the horn with our ears. By this point, my family and I are just ready to leave due to this loud commotion. I was fixing to go over there myself and tell her off, but I knew that was probably not the best idea. I didn't want to put myself and my unborn baby in any danger. Then, for about 20 or 30 minutes, we would be able to watch the stars in relative peace with little noise from the other two parties. Fortunately, none of these people were directly involved in what happened next, but it may have been the cause of it. We packed our stargazing stuff just before midnight and got in the car. Now, the gravel path to the exit is up a slight hill or slope, meaning from the parking lot, you can't see past where the path goes up and around a couple of trees. We drive up the hill, and just as the headlights come back down to illuminate the path in front of us, the trees to our right side, we see a man wearing only black shorts and no shirt. The timing is straight out of a horror movie, suddenly seeing someone out of nowhere. He is in his late 20s or 30s and has short dark hair. Just as the light hits him, he was standing and walking right to the car, in front of us at a very close distance, only a couple of feet away. Upon seeing us, the guy had been walking in our direction and quickly raised his arms and flips us off with both hands. Then he runs off into the woods sporadically. He was raising his hands and arms quickly and loudly, saying something, expressing anger. It was hard to hear what he was saying since he was running away. I remember asking what he was doing, but everybody said, "Nope, we're getting the heck out of here." I knew that this was not a situation where we needed to stick around and ask questions. It freaked me out a little imagining what would have happened if that guy had reached the car a few seconds later if we hadn't sped off. I'm not very familiar with my dad's car, and it scares me that I might have ended up pressing the wrong button to lock my door. The guy could have opened it and done who knows what. We left and nothing else really happened. My best theory is that they were just a bunch of drunk people, maybe even just some methed out people, trying to have a good time, but things went left. I'm not sure where to share this, but I've been freaking out for a few days now. I would love any advice anyone may have. I want to start by saying that everything that I'm about to talk about is absolutely true. And if you don't believe me, that's completely fine. I live in a woodsy area in the northwest of Ohio. My house is about a half a mile in the woods, down a long driveway. And my property is surrounded by trees from each side, except for the back, which has a field that alternates soybeans and corn every year. We're just a few minutes away from a very small village and about a half an hour away from bigger towns. I just wanted to give some background into the area before I say what happened, in case that helps at all. I've had some weird stuff happen before. I've encountered what I think are not deers. Once, there was one in my yard walking around apple trees, which isn't uncommon, but the thing was huge and absolutely ugly, and it just looked all wrong. There was also one next to a country road I was driving down with my friend once. A few years ago, I was dog-sitting for some friends. I never had a dog at this point, but I did have some experience watching them. So I was out walking this dog near the field, and he turned around as there was a huge splash in our pond. He started growling and eventually howling. Other than that, the dog was really friendly, and I'd never heard him even growl before. I joked saying it was a frogman, like the Loveland frogman, but I ignored it for the most part. Last year, my family got a dog of our own, and he's a hound dog, so he chases and barks at pretty much everything. But sometimes, he gets weird about the pond too, and he'll growl and howl at it. He doesn't really growl other than that, and I have no further explanation on what is happening over there. But the incident that I came here to share about happened only a few days ago. This year is a corn year in the field behind our house, which I always hate because I can't see past the first couple of rows, and I've always thought that it's pretty creepy. Before crops are planted, I like to rock hunt and metal detect in the field, surrounding the couple of woods scattered throughout the fields. There's a big creek that runs through it too. I mainly stick to the field directly behind my house because I don't have to wander out too far. The farthest out I've ever really gone is probably about a mile. A couple of days ago, I was out with my dog, walking along the line of dirt between the trees in the back of my property in the field, when my dog started growling at the corn. It obviously scared the hell out of me, and I was yelling at him to stop. When I was little, we would get coyotes around there all the time, so I figured it was more than likely a coyote. Since I didn't want myself or my dog to get hurt by the coyote, I started walking back to the house, but my dog just was not having it. He was pulling on the leash and baying and howling and losing his mind. He doesn't usually bay, and he doesn't howl unless there's a squirrel that's treed or something. So the fact that he was just screaming into the cornfield really freaked me out. We started walking again, and then I heard what sounded like a meow come from the corn. I was like, okay, it's just a cat, cool. But I have a cat, and there's plenty of barn cats that cross our property, and my dog has never once lost his mind over a cat like that before. So I keep tugging on his leash, and I'm like, dude, let's go, you're freaking me out. The cat keeps meowing, and it's getting very uncomfortably loud for a cat. It sounded like it was a lot closer than it actually was. And then this cat thing started growling, but it sounded more like a big dog, like these were massive growls. Then the corn started rustling, bigger than what a cat would ever be able to do. Luckily, at that point, I was just about to my backyard, and the growling kind of developed into what sounded like a yell or a scream from a human being. I was dragging my dog at this point. My dog was growling, his hair on his back sticking up. I was scared and shaking. I was absolutely terrified. I went back to my house and told my family what happened, and they were just like, okay, cool, whatever. But I was nearly in tears. It was scary. Again, I don't know if this is the right show to share this on, or if anybody will find this scary, but to me, in that moment, I was absolutely terrified. Nothing like this has ever happened since. Not that I want it to, but if anybody has any explanations or advice, please let me know in the comments down below.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle
with ultra-titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
I grew up in a small southern town. When I was a kid back in the 70s and 80s, it was normal to ride our bikes everywhere, wade in nearby creeks, and play deep in the woods. Where we lived, there were hundreds of acres of woods. There were several spots we could pretty much just enjoy playing where odd-shaped trees grew, grapevines hung over bank edges, or where clearings gave way to the joys of sunshine and wind. One of our favorite spots was relatively small with several crooked trees we could bounce on. It is hard to describe if you are not familiar with the wooded areas around here. This area is like an exceedingly small valley. It gets extremely hot in the south, so a valley with towering trees also gave us some good shelter from the hot summer sun. My sister and I had been playing for quite a while, and we're getting pretty hungry. She went to the house, which was not very far away, to make some sandwiches for us. I watched as she walked off. As I stood thinking about clearing away some unwanted branches, I got this very odd feeling. I noticed it had gotten incredibly quiet, which sent a chill down my spine. Then I saw something. I saw a shadow of someone or something that was standing on top of the hill behind me. At first, I thought it could be the owner of the property, who was kind of an elderly gentleman. He was normally nice, but he was not this tall nor this slim, and he would have spoken to me, I'm sure of it. Now, as a 10-year-old, I had learned that if I closed my eyes upon seeing a scary thing, it would be gone when I opened them. Maybe this sounds odd, but when I did this, either what I saw became explainable, or simply would be gone, and filed away as a figment of my large imagination. I closed and opened my eyes. The shadow remained. My heart was racing. I was frozen. Again, I closed and opened my eyes. The shadow remained. I noticed it moved its arm slightly. I continued to close and open my eyes, but this shadow was very real. I felt its stare. I have no doubt that it was watching me intently. After what seemed like forever, I heard my sister walking back. I watched her as she made her way back with the sandwiches in hand. She was talking, but when she saw me, she stopped and asked what was wrong. I looked down again at the shadow, but it was gone. I was no longer frozen in fear, and told her we needed to go home. I started running. My sister was so afraid she dropped our sandwiches as we got to our yard. I told her what I had just seen. Even as a 10-year-old, I was very practical and very skeptical. I decided to go back the next day at the same time and study shadows from that hill. My sister came with me, though she was afraid. I had her stand on the hill and stood where I had stood the day before, but my sister's shadow was normal. I tried several things, but I could not explain away the shadow I had seen. It was very tall. I estimated the height of the creature to have been at least 7 feet tall. I have seen a lot of strange things in my life. I can find logical explanations for most of them, but I know the shadow I saw in the forest that day was real, and it was not a human. I never saw it again, but I will never forget it. I used to live in northern Washington State, having moved there from the Midwest for work. The town I lived in was big enough as it had a university and was close to the Canadian border, but not very populated and mostly rural, forested, and mountainous. Like the Midwest where I am from, there is a good amount of wildlife there. I would see bald eagles, owls, hawks, raccoons, deer, and I would see cougar prints on hiking trails. Thankfully, I never crossed a cougar's path that I know of. In the Midwest, I have seen plenty of deer. I cannot throw a stick without hitting one. Black bear on several occasions, and even been terrifyingly close to a moose once on accident. I am telling you all this so you know that I am 100% sure what my brain told me at first was a deer was not a deer. On the night I saw it, several years ago, I was heading back to work at around 11 p.m. I had been working the overnight shift for several weeks at this point, so was pretty used to the weird time of being at work. I was not especially tired, and had already been awake for more than an hour, getting ready and had a cup of coffee in me. My commute consisted mostly of driving through flatland, since it is near the coast, with lots of trees broken up by some small fields. The road is lit with street lamps, but not enough to always be well lit the entire drive. I was coming around an unlit bend with a field on my right, and a thick, treed median on my left. I saw a deer walking away from the road in the field, so I immediately let my foot off the gas and looked for more that might be coming out of the trees. Rarely did I ever see a lone deer. Always at least two or more, sometimes as many as 10 crossing together. The deer was far enough ahead still walking that I looked back at it again as I passed by. As I passed it though, I realized that it was not a deer at all. It was just very wrong. I really do not know how else to describe it. It had stopped in the field, and it just was not a deer anymore, or anything like a deer. I think it was bigger than a deer at the very least, and I felt like it was observing me as I passed by it. I had that sinking feeling in my gut you get when something dreadful is about to happen. But I went past it, stepped on the gas, and got back to above the speed limit while gripping the steering wheel with all I had. Nothing dreadful happened, luckily, and I got to work just fine. I have moved to a different state now, but I used to always look out for that not deer thing whenever I drove by late at night. I have no clue what I would do if I saw it again. It was not the only weird thing that happened to me there, but it is the one I think the most about. In 2011, my uncle invited me on a trip with him and my two cousins. We stayed a night in Vegas, then rented an RV for a trip through Utah and Arizona. Our destination was the Grand Canyon. We spent a few days driving around to all the tourist destinations such as Eagle Point. Our nights were spent in RV parks that were found along the way. On our final leg of the trip, we headed to the Havasupai Indian Reservation. We got some awesome photos and went on a thoroughly interesting tour. Last night, we were driving around looking for an RV park to sleep in. We did not want to rough it on the side of the road because it would be freezing cold and we needed to empty the sewage tank. Unfortunately, our phones were giving us problems due to a poor signal. My uncle was tired of driving and determined we would have to pull over. We took this opportunity to stretch out and gaze. The stars looked beautiful in the night sky. We were in an incredibly rural, unpopulated area. There were hardly any other cars or people. As a result, there was absolutely no light pollution, and the stars glowed intensely. On one side of the long dirt road was a steep hill with borders and shrubs. On the other side, the canyon. To our surprise, the dark was broken by high beams coming toward us. A car was casually, but slowly, cruising down the road. The driver pulled over next to us and got out. From what I could tell, he was a Native American man, and he told us he was a local. His hat nearly covered his eyes, and his beard grew over his mouth. We greeted him respectfully and asked him if he knew of any RV parks. He said we were reasonably far from the tourist areas, and that there were none over here. He asked us how we got here, and we told him that we were sort of driving aimlessly in hopes that we would find an RV park. He laughed and started to tell us about the part of the canyon that we were standing next to. He sounded like a tour guide spewing out facts. He offered to take us down an unmarked trail that only locals hiked. He said it was beautiful, had scenic spots. Beguiled by his backstory and knowledge, we agreed to follow him. For whatever reason. He got some hiking gear from his car and urged us to gather some of our own. We climbed into our RV and gathered our stuff. As I put on my boots, I watched him circle our RV through my window. Once we were ready, he led us a quarter mile down the road. We reached his fabled location, and he shined his flashlight off down the edge of the cliff to show us the path. I knew this was not an official trail, but it did not look like a trail at all. We followed him down an incredibly steep bank with tons of loose rocks. He led us around a few turns and through several tight caverns. We found ourselves in a big, flat rock, and we stopped to take some pictures. He led us deeper and deeper into the canyon. "You want to go to the bottom?" he asked us. It was dark and we were tired, so we declined. We kept following him for about 10 minutes. We saw a few birds eating a small animal along the way. It struck me that we were truly in the untouched wilderness. We were uncomfortably close to the edge of the cliff many times. My uncle grew a bit uneasy and asked him to lead us back. He agreed and told us that he knew of a shortcut back up to where we came from. He told us to wait there and disappeared out of sight. We were all a bit nervous at this point because we had no idea where we were. We waited about 10 minutes or so, taking more photos to pass the time. Eventually, my uncle walked off in the direction the man left. My cousins and I were afraid to be alone. We trailed him tensely. He came back and told us he did not see the man. We waited another 10 minutes before giving up. "He's not coming back," my uncle told us. I began to wonder what could have happened to him. Did he fall? Did he get lost? Did he ditch us? I could not understand why he left us there. He seemed so friendly, and we were oddly eager to trust him. We started to hike back from whence we came. The problem was nobody really remembered where we came from. The terrain was incredibly unsafe, and we realized that we could not navigate it on our own. My uncle called out a few times, but the only response was his echo. We found ourselves testing ridges that we were certain we had not come across before. Foot placement was key, as many rocks were wobbly. Just my little cousin started to cry. We had to hold on to their jacket. It felt like we were lost in a labyrinth. My uncle remarked over and over that he knew it was a bad idea, but it was way too late now. Hindsight is always 20/20. Since this was not a real trail, there were no markings to help us. The only source of light came from our flashlights. I tried not to look over the edge because I had a small fear of heights, and we were incredibly high up. I did not want to be in the back of the pack, but I did not really want to lead it either. I just wanted to be back in the RV. Our anxiety was building as the moon sank. To keep the spirits up, we joked that we could survive a night in the canyon since my cousin was an Eagle Scout. However, we were merely trying to take our minds off the situation. Finally, after what felt like forever, we found ourselves on that same big flat rock. We recognized the series of caverns we crossed through and climbed back out. It was a relief when we got back on the dirt road. We walked towards our RV, looking for the man as we staggered on. We came upon our RV, but the man's car was gone. He left us. We quickly put the pieces together. We were angry and felt incredibly foolish. As I got closer to our RV, I noticed that the door was creaked open. I remember locking it when we left. Immediately, tears built up in my eyes. I was not sure if the adrenaline had gotten the best of me, or if I truly had a reason to be afraid. "Hold on," my uncle said, as we swung open the door. My cousins and I were too afraid to go inside, but we were not particularly content about being outside either. My uncle took a few steps into the RV and blurted out, "Guys, we've been robbed." We piled into the RV and froze. None of us wanted to venture too deep in. I began thinking all of the stuff that I had stored in there. Our suitcases were thrown on the floor, clothing was scattered, my iPad was gone, my uncle's wallet was gone, my cousin's jewelry was gone, and my other cousin's phone was gone, amongst other things. I felt so violated. We were all so silent for quite a bit, and none of us really slept. My uncle started the RV and we drove off, looking for civilization. Fortunately for us, we had enough gas to make it to the RV rental place. We phoned the police and they filled out a report, but nothing ever came of it. My word of advice, if someone asks you to go down to the bottom of the canyon, always say no.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle
with ultra-titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Thanks for listening to these creepy and downright strange horror stories from the woods and the great outdoors that'll freak you out tonight. If you enjoyed these stories, please be sure to hit that like button and subscribe if you're new. Be sure to turn on notifications so you don't miss a new episode as I upload them multiple times a week on all things natural and supernatural. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future episode, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. If you're on the go but don't have YouTube Premium but still want to download and listen to your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories no matter where you are, you can download them absolutely free from Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and pretty much everywhere else you find your favorite podcast online. It's absolutely free and always will be. Thank you guys so much for supporting the Swamp the way you do. Be sure to join me on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, Instagram, Facebook, and all the other fun websites, and I'll see you all soon with another creepy episode.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Save big money on your outdoor project at Menards. We make landscaping simple with our free, easy-to-use design program and step-by-step project guides. Plus, Menards has the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block at the best prices. Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Visit us in-store or on Menards.com to see our full selection of landscape blocks and get your outdoor project started today.
Save big.